Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Get in touch with us here at thelandofisrael.com by email, josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook or on Twitter at Jew of Zion. I hope everyone had a wonderful Passover. It is now May the 2nd, 2016. Passover is behind us. We are looking ahead here in Israel to Yom HaAtzma'ut. Yom HaZikaron, unfortunately, it's an extremely moving time of the year here in Israel. I am sitting in Beit Horon, a community which is perched high above Modi'in, what I've been seeing here in the distance in between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And we're going to speak to a very special woman here today. Yudit Tayar is a veteran spokesperson for the communities in Judea and Samaria. She is one of the founders here of Beit Horon. She is also a first responder, an emergency first respond medic, response medic with Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shamron, a very important organization which she's going to tell you about here today, saving lives, working with other organizations here in Judea and Samaria and other parts of the country, saving all lives. I mean, she goes out, you know, the Arabs, and I'll let her tell you about it, in the nearby villages, when they get into trouble, they need medical attention, who do they call? They call Yudit. She treats everyone. That's what she does. Yudit, welcome to Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you. Welcome to Beit Horon.
Thanks so much. And before we sat down, I got a tour of Beit Horon, and I got to see some of the beautiful, beautiful beginnings here. The children, especially in the kindergartens, in the schools, the flowers in bloom here, spring in Israel. The birds are chirping. Unfortunately, there's some negative here as well. Within the beauty, you have different memorials to heroes of the Jewish people that have fallen in the Lebanon War. Up until recently, they had a terror attack here in Beit Horon. A young girl who just finished her national service was walking just several months ago here in this latest wave of jihadist violence, terror, whatever you want to call it, who was murdered here just down the road from where I'm sitting right now. And Yudit has seen it all. She's been the first on the scene in many of these attacks, and she saved lives. But it's really an honor to have you on the show, Yudit.
It's an honor to be here, really, and thank you so much for being with us.
If you can, and we're going to let, there's wind in the background, but we're going to let it go. I mean, I think it adds to really the experience here. It really gives the listener a sense of you know, where we are up here in the mountains of Judea and Samaria. Yudit, if you can, talk about the last several difficult months here in Beit Horon.
Well, we've had some very heartbreaking tragedies, but along with that, we've had some miracles, because the terror attack that occurred here inside of the community on Tu Bishvat, which is the festival of planting here in the Jewish land and in the Jewish nation, at 4:30, our little babies, 3 and 4 year olds, left the nursery school, and 10 minutes after that, two terrorists came in to try and murder us. We lost a very wonderful young 24-year-old girl, Shlomit Kriegman, Shem Yikom Atama, and one of the nursery school teachers survived, thank God, but she was stabbed 10 times by these two young terrorists that had done a lot of homework, a lot of planning to come in and carry out this terror attack.
Yeah, extremely painful, just several months ago. But despite that that attack and many other attacks, I mean, you are often first one on the scene to treat the wounded. Describe what that's like, and especially in light of the recent attacks.
Well, only a few days ago, unfortunately, there was another terror attack in a point about 5 minutes from here, which is a military point. It was the seventh time that we were called out, and two very, very young Arab girls came to murder. When I got there, one had been, thank God, unsuccessful in trying to murder the soldiers that she was with. And she was injured, and we took care of her, and she was evacuated to Shaare Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem. She survived. There was another young terrorist. These were 15 and 16-year-old young girls. The terrorist that was apprehended and shot had carried two enormous knives and a syringe full of a liquid that we haven't yet verified what this liquid is, and thank God none of our brave soldiers were injured. But it was, I don't know how to describe the feeling when you're taking care of somebody that came to murder you.
And, you know, there have been many reports in the media recently. I mean, we see the incitement, which goes on a daily basis in official Palestinian Authority outlets and television and radio, etc. And then recently you had some high-level officials who have come out and said, no, the reason for these attacks in recent weeks, recent months, isn't the incitement per se necessarily. It could be these lone wolves acting on their own because of a certain gripe that they have, issues within the family, etc. And that's the reason they're attacking. I mean, you have high-level people saying those are the reasons. I mean, you see these terrorists and unfortunately have to deal with them one-on-one firsthand. I mean, what's your take on that theory that these attacks are really personal, interpersonal family issues, and they're just taking them out on the Jews who live in these areas?
I'm going to quote our friend Adina, the nursery school teacher that was stabbed horrifically 10 times and thank God survived. At first, she couldn't understand that afternoon who these kids were. They had hoods on their heads, and they were coming after her with knives. And she said the hate in their eyes was something I couldn't understand. She didn't realize that they were terrorists at first. She thought they were teenage kids, and she thought they were goofing around, and all of a sudden they threw her down and started to stab her. And she said, it's an indescribable amount of hate that they were showing in their eyes when they were attacking me and stabbing me.
Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shomron, you've been a first response medic over how many years now for the organization?
Basically since the beginning. All of us are trained by Magen David Adom. We work hand-in-hand with Magen David Adom, with the military, with airborne rescue. The organization was born because of the circumstances really demanding, because we who are out there, you know, on the ground that are medically trained are many times the first in a scene, whether it's an accident, whether it's a terror attack, whether even, you know, whatever. We have equipment in our car, and literally there are many, many times that I first or we first take care of somebody while we're calling backup for an ambulance or for air rescue, but we're the first on the scene, and that's why the organization was born and the importance of it.
And how many years now? I'll tell you, Dabba Shimon, approximately. How many years has it been around?
2000.
And if you can't describe, you've talked to me in the past about having to treat anyone, and I see looking at the views here in Beit Horon, a lot of Arab villages nearby, and I've heard stories that you've shared some of them with me. I want you to share them now with the listeners of cases where, you know, whether it's a gang or a group of kids or whatnot, within these villages, get into fights, and they end up not calling their own ambulances, but calling you, and you Yehuda v'Shomron and the staff that you work with, having to risk your lives to go in and break up a fight or to give medical attention because they prefer the treatment of Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shomron over their local ambulance services, and you have, you know, often having to risk your own life as some of the other gang members or whatnot, jihadists in the village, are trying to attack you to, you know, while you're trying to give first aid. Just describe that scenario, if you can.
It's many times I get yelled at by my friends, like, why are you trying to save Arab lives? You're a family of victims of terror yourself. You've lost family, you lost friends. You've been injured in the army, too. Your son's been injured in the army. And we don't look at it that way, because we look at, especially as believing Jews, in the importance of human life and saving lives no matter who they are. And there's countless times when there's Nagid, a family feud inside of a village, like we had in Tachta, which is a very ominously known village now for all of the many terror attacks that came out from there, that we go in only with the military, only with the IDF. The Israeli Defense Forces, and I've taken care of victims of family terror when a young guy was stabbed by his uncle. I don't even want to tell you how many times, you wouldn't believe it. And when I asked him after I stabilized his situation, what happened? Ahmed, what happened? What? We had a family feud about money, and I'm like looking at him and like, wait a minute, this is your uncle? He says, yeah. He lives here in Atira. I live in Tachta, and we had a fight about money, and he stabbed me, believe it or not, 14 times.
Wow.
And so it's very easy to blame on our existence, on our building, on our whatever. But if you see the self-hatred amongst the Arabs themselves, not only in this country, look what's going on in Syria. Let's going over, you know, and we bring in Syrian injured and from Gaza that are injured not by the IDF but by their own, because we believe in the importance of human life. And this is so sadly ignored by the world and by my own government, because I remember as a kid, my family came first to Israel in 1823, and as a young girl in Tzfat, I grew up in the Negev in a religious kibbutz. We'd go to the graves of my family that were murdered in the 30s and 40s before the establishment of the State of Israel. So what's with the memory, the forsaken memory of the violence starting before there is even a State of Israel?
And today, if we can, you brought up our government. If we can, just get a little bit political. You gave me the tour. Beit Horon, I see now, you know, without getting into specifics, has fences and security systems, as many of the communities do in Judea and Samaria. But as I've said over the years, I personally can't stand the fences and the walls and everything else that you're seeing. You know, from many perspectives, where I live in Gush Etzion, you know, it's essentially become a military base at Samta Gush, the Gush Junction, where you have so many soldiers all assuming a defensive position. And to me, the fences and the walls and the security and the barbed wire signifies a defensive posture, if you will, instead of an offensive one. Right. And we're seeing that here in your community today, just from a few minutes of a tour. I mean, comment, if you will, on the politics of the situation, on where we are now as a nation here. We're about to celebrate 68 years. Unfortunately, you drive here to Beit Horon and it's fences and walls and borders and checkpoints and all these other things, which they criticize, the international community criticizes for these security measures anyway. But nevertheless, aside from being an eyesore, these are defensive measures and band-aids, what I call them. What's your take on them?
Absolutely. We were very upset when they insisted on putting up the fence here, even though it was after several attacks, not inside of the community, but right next to the community. In one of the attacks, I was first on the scene, and a mother, father, and a uncle of the brother of the mother that was murdered, who was a soldier, were murdered on the road here. They were from a community near here, from Neria, and there were two infants in the car, which miraculously were saved. But because of the terror on the roads, in order to try and establish a preventive measure, which I believe in, like you, the offensive, not the preventive, it's very good to put on a bulletproof vest and everything, but first prevent it from happening. Don't just respond. But unfortunately, we didn't have anything to say about the fences putting up. And on the fences are numbers. Each area, each few meters is numbered, because when there has been an attack and a penetration, so we, the immediate response teams with the emergency rescue, are the first on the spot, and we inform the IDF. We're in next to the fence number 5 to 10. The area is closed off securely, and it's a sterile area, and our children have been educated that if there's a situation like that, you don't go home, you go to the nearest house. And this is not normal. This is, I mean, insane that you have to think about, my kid is outside playing in the yard, and if something happens, we don't know if she'll be able to get home or he'll be able to get home. He has to get to the area that's safest. And this is totally ignored. And this is not something, as I said, that began or was born after the liberation of these areas in 67. It wasn't even after the establishment of our state. And it's very tragic to me that a member of a government who's supposed to represent the interests of the not only the people of Israel, but the nation of Israel, would say something like that. Oh, let me give them an excuse for coming and murdering us. I don't accept that.
The government came out with statistics about 3-4 weeks ago saying that the attacks are on the decline. Up until the bus bombing in Jerusalem, I believe, almost just a few days before, it was, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a celebration, but it was a public statement to the media. Attacks are on the decline. We are winning this current wave. Things are getting better. And then, you know, here I'm talking to you, and you're describing the sixth stabbing or attempted attack off of Route 443 down here. So, what are we to make of this discrepancy? As it would seem, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it would seem that while the government on one hand is celebrating a sharp, in their belief, decrease, you know, you're still out with Hatzal Yehuda v'Shomron, even on ruining your Passover holiday, having to go out and respond to an attack. I mean, what's with the discrepancy?
It's very well-planned discrepancy because they're trying to calm the public down. I mean, think of it. I know when I'm sent to be a spokesperson for Israel abroad, maybe now you begin to see that there's some kind of security at the entrance of buildings. Here, this is something that we're born with and live with, that at the entrance to a theater or to a shopping store or something, you have a security guard. And the public, you know, it's not only in Judea and Samaria, it's not even in the outskirts of Gaza, it's not only in the north. I can't think almost of one place in Israel that hasn't been suffering terror attacks. Tel Aviv, they international city of the country, and the public, I believe that the government feels that if they calm the public down, then they'll be justifying the fact that they're not responding in the way that they're preventing and only responding.
In case you're just joining us, this is Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel.com radio network. We are here in Beit Horon speaking to Yudit Tayar, veteran spokeswoman, one of the founders of the community. She's been doing this for years and years, representing the Jews of the Land of Israel, the people of Israel, in many, many different capacities. And we've been talking about her work as an emergency first responder with Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shomron, Hatzalah Judea and Samaria. For those listening, Yudit, and by the way, yes, you can also get in touch with me on Twitter at Jew of Zion, Facebook, and via email. I appreciate every email I read, everyone. josh@thelandofisrael.com. I'm not going to have time to read listener emails today because we're here with a very special guest. We'll try to get back to that next Monday on the program. But, you know, if people always want to get involved, those who do, you know, a lot of very active people on social media and Facebook, people, those who live in Israel, of course, those who don't live in Israel, but focusing on the organization Hatzalah, saving lives. And I know Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shomron collaborates. It isn't just one organization on its own, collaborates with, you know, and I've seen this in recent weeks with my own eyes, with the One Israel Fund and with Ateret Kohanim and with other organizations who are doing amazing work, Judea, Samaria, the Old City of Jerusalem. And I know Hatzalah Yehuda v'Shomron also has representatives here down below us in Modi'in on call. What can people do in this capacity, saving lives on the ground? How can they get involved? People want to help. I know they do. I know there's so many pro-Israel Zionists, Jews, Christians, etc., out there who are always asking, what can I do from where I am? What would you say to them, specifically in regard to the organization Hatzalah Judea and Samaria Yehuda v'Shomron?
I would say that not only publicly we need the responses and the publications, but we literally need your help in order to acquire the equipment, to distribute it to both the emergency security teams and the medical teams throughout Judea, Samaria, the Jordan Valley, even in areas, like you said, in Jerusalem and even on the outskirts of Gaza, to be actively involved, to help us literally go onto our website and help us get the equipment that we need to save lives.
It's Hatzalah.
Come visit us.
And definitely come visit. Yudit gives a great tour of these important areas. Hatzalah.org. .il is the URL. Before we go, again, we started the show mentioning that this is a very emotional time of the year in Israel. Passover is just finished. Yom HaShoah V'Gvurah is coming up this week, later this week. Holocaust, International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And then we have Yom HaZikaron, our Memorial Day, the lows, if you will, to the highs of celebrating our independence, Yom HaTzmaut, 68 years, if I'm not mistaken, 68 years, yes? I don't do math. The listeners know I don't do math since 1948. Yeah. Right. We're getting ready for the big 70.
Wow.
But if you can, what, you know, what are your thoughts overall and your reflections as we head towards this emotional time of year, from the low of the low, you know, remembering those who have fallen, you yourself personally have lost many, and then the highs of Yom HaTzmaut. What goes through your head this time of year, Yudit?
Especially this time of year, but all through the year. I carry with me, as I showed you, my dear friend, the Bible that I received at the Wailing Wall as a defender of Israel in the IDF. And I remember standing there, and most of my mother's family were from Vilna. They perished in the Holocaust. My father's family settled here in the 1800s, and I was growing up on the stories of how determined they were to stay in the Galilee, no matter how much terror there was. And I remember standing there and feeling so grateful that I could defend, not only physically, but as you're doing, to tell the truth, to let the truth be told, and for people to know what is really happening here. Not politics, not issues of financial whatever, the actualities of the situation. And it's not, I don't think I think it's very, very planned that first we have the memorial for the Holocaust, then the memorial for our fallen, who will never forget, and who's, I personally go down to Nitzan, to the graves of our friends that were removed from their graves in Gush Katif and reburied after the expulsion, and to remember them and to remember what we owe them for protecting us and defending. Again, it's not just physically defending, it's defending and explaining who we are and how grateful I am. And I remember I had a group here recently, and one of the youth was asking me, oh, you're really proud to be a commander in the IDF? And I said, no, I'm so grateful that I can defend my country. And defending my country is not only here physically, but all of the Jews all over the world. And that's what we have to think and do, is unify as a Jewish people.
Strong, powerful words. And I would add to that, as you know, as bad as the situation might be during this time, during 2002, 1929, you take your pick. I mean, it's still, the listeners should know, it's still the best time to be a Jew and to be here in Israel, where we're able to develop our own country with our own two hands and defend ourselves by ourselves, the first Jewish army in thousands of years. So as bleak as it seems sometimes, and we, Yudit and I, were just walking by the spot near the supermarket here where that young girl was murdered just several months ago here, and there is now a small memorial to her down below at the supermarket. As bad as it seems, in the background, and we did this interview outside, and if the audio quality isn't great, I apologize to my wonderful engineer, Ben Bresky, who's going to have to work with it, but I wanted people to hear in the background the birds and the cars passing, and you can hear the kids in the schools in the background. I hope you're catching this, listeners, with this device, this microphone, which Eve Harrow, by the way, our good friend from the station, lent me today, and the wind whistling, which may disrupt some of the quality of the audio, but I thought it was important for you to get a real sense of what it feels like without actually being here. Hopefully you'll join us here on this journey. Yudit Tayar, veteran spokeswoman for Beit Horon, for the people of Judea and Samaria, for the people of Israel, for Hatzalah, Yehuda v'Shomron, responding in emergency situations, saving lives. I want to thank you so much for your time, your hospitality here in Beit Horon today.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for being with us always. And all of you there, come and be with us.
Exactly. Come and be with us. Get in touch with me if you have more questions for Yudit, if you want to find out more how you can be part of this wonderful, wonderful story on the front lines of the Jewish people here in the Land of Israel. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the landofisrael.com radio network. Get in touch with me, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter @JewOfZion. On Facebook, it's Josh Haston, Haston. Have a wonderful week, everyone out there. Keep those emails coming, and most importantly, be safe. I am out from Beit Horon, Israel, Josh Haston, Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Radio Network. www.landofisrael.com.